Hoorah, Semper Fi, Do or Die, Hold'em High at 8th and I. You are listening to Behind the Mic with Mike, of course. You better be listening good, too. You don't want to miss out on anything, because there might be a test after the show. Semper Fi, enjoy the day. Hoorah.
Welcome back, movie lovers with movie boners, to another episode of Behind the Mics with Media Mics. We're recording at the lovely Alamo Drafthouse Theater in downtown Kansas City, the only theater chain in America that is bringing you, and maybe you'll know what this movie is called or is about, the Terror Tuesday screening of Dial Code Santa Claus.
Not familiar with it.
Looks like it's 1980s movie that came out a year before Home Alone. And according to this, has almost the same plot, but only filled with more style, bloodshed, and Rambo references.
Nice.
Apparently it's a French movie, and it is a VHS bootleg.
So it's ha-ha-ha, Santa Claus.
It's probably one of those movies that was lost to time, and then someone found it at a garage sale or something.
Look at this. Look what I found.
Which I think is what Mystery Science Theater did for ages.
Right.
So many movies were just lost to time, and then they dug them up somewhere or found them. And what's the infamous one that they've done that's like that?
I'm on the spot now. My mind just shuts down when I'm on the spot.
It was like some Satanist movie from the 60s.
Oh.
And it was barely over an hour, and it's like...
Wasn't The Devil's Reign. That was in the 70s. It's John Travolta's film debut.
Because I know I've seen it. And I don't know where they found it, but I want to say... They found it at whatever cinema it premiered at, because there was a copy of it.
Yeah.
And then
I would think you would find a lot of those movies if you contacted the TV stations that had the local horror shows. Like in Tampa, we had Dr. Paul Bearer, who did the Sunday morning or Saturday morning or afternoon horror shows. In Cleveland, we had Houlihan and Big Chuck, and we had Ghilardi, who is Ernie Anderson, who is actually Ghilardi's filmmaker Paul Thomas Anderson's father. But you would think they would have that kind of stuff archived, or where they could get a hold of that stuff that was just kind of, you know, schlocky 60s horror, and that they would just throw on the air.
It's Manos, The Hands of Fate.
Oh, yes. Yes, I have heard of that.
Who was the local... Kansas City, like, late night horror person, some woman, 80s.
Ooh, I wasn't here in the 80s.
I used the 90s. I can't remember.
I wasn't here.
Well, before 90s. My time.
Yeah. That's.
Let's see.
I think Elvira is probably the most well known.
Yeah, because my time in the 90s, it was Joe Bob Briggs.
Oh, okay.
There's a website called Drive-In Movie Maniacs, which looks like it has a list of... So, from 58 to 63, there was Shock Theater with Gregory Grave on Channel 9, also known as Harvey... It was played by Harvey Brunswick. There was The Witching Hour with Marilyn the Witch on KCMO during the 50s. There was Penny Dreadful, a.k.a. Rosemary Earp, on Channel 9 during the 60s. Murphy's Monstrous Movies with Mike Murphy in the 70s. Huey the Ghoul on KCTV 5. There's actually a lot. I'm going to just look. There it is. Cremation Mortem?
Oh.
Who was on Channel 41 during the 80s.
Okay. 41 was big with that. They used to have a guy that I used to watch late night. He had a cat. I forget his name, but he showed like old TV episodes. He always had a cat on his desk next to him.
This drive-in movie maniacs guy is in Lenexa. You ever heard of him?
What's the name?
Drive-in movie maniacs.
No, if you had his name.
Oh, I don't know. It just says it just has contact information for Lenexa.
Huh.
You might have to check this guy out, see if you know him.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is episode 211 of Behind the Mics, and there is not a show with 211 episodes yet. So this is also a chance to plug the Nicolas Cage direct-to-video movie 211, which I looked up the plot synopsis for, and it just sounds awful. Giving me a weird look.
You know, it's like, is that a phone number? Is that... That's a number in Kansas City. You call that number if you need assistance from City Hall.
Oh, is it?
Gives you all the city assistance in 211.
Well, it's a... it's where Nicolas Cage plays an officer, where he and a young civilian passenger find themselves unprepared and outgunned in the crosshairs of a daring bank heist.
On February 11th? Or 2:11 in the afternoon?
Well, I don't know what the 2:11 is for.
Huh.
It doesn't say.
Poor Nicolas Cage.
Well, did you see he's been cast to play himself in a movie about himself?
I saw that. I didn't read the.
I mean, do you need
synopsis
to?
Or plot? But
do you need to?
So he's playing. No. Jackie Robinson did it in the Jackie Robinson story.
Or is it just going to be a Being John Malkovich scenario?
Well,
that's what I was thinking.
If it was, that'd be cool. If it was, I mean, if it had that talent of writing and...
Well, it probably won't.
Everything else. Or it could just be somebody down the street who says, let's make a movie. Because
that was
Cage.
Lloyd Kaufman, right?
Or I probably butchered it. Charlie Kaufman.
Charlie Kaufman.
Lloyd Kaufman is Troma.
Yeah, that's right. I knew I butchered it. Well, I knew it was directed by...
Spike Jones.
Yeah. So maybe if Spike Jones directs this, who knows? And if you don't know the buttery voices who've been talking to your ear holes for the past 7 minutes, I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Movie Mike.
And we are talking about the big Thanksgiving movie of the year, Frozen 2.
Has Elsa seemed weird to you?
She seems like Elsa.
There's this voice. Voice? What does that mean?
Where to begin, since this is basically the first... theatrical release for a Disney sequel, isn't it? At least for a Disney animated film.
That wasn't Pixar originally, you mean?
Yeah.
I can't think. Pretty much. I mean, the Rescuers. They did the Rescuers.
Oh,
they
did
the Rescuers down under years
ago. I forgot
about
that.
But this is probably the first theatrical, I'll say theatrical, Disney sequel, because there's been, like, you know, Pocahontas 3 and...
Yeah, there's been a bunch of those. They had... Know. Couple Aladdin sequels in the 90s, and I think they did a Fox and the Hound 2 for some ungodly reason years ago.
Huh. I'm a hound dog.
I mean, the first one ends perfectly. Why make a sequel?
Because anyway. The parents who, like yourself, who enjoyed the original will buy the sequel for their kids.
And so Frozen 2 is about Earth... Wind, fire, and water.
Philip Bailey to make an appearance, yeah.
Yeah, and how something apparently is not right in the world. And how Elsa and Anna need to go fix it.
Well,
with the help of...
Yeah, it starts off cute. I like the little flashback where, you know, their dad finally tells them the story of how the kingdom came to be. And the mom sings him a weird song. But
this movie is basically a the humble beginnings to an oligarchy.
Yes.
To me, it took forever to start.
It did. It just, I liked it. I'll give my rating later. I almost gave it a half star less, but then the more I thought about it, the performances are good, and the animation is great. I think the songs aren't as good.
You didn't like Kristoff's song?
You're right.
You didn't?
It was okay, but it's just, I mean, it's a...
You didn't like the Queen nod during it?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's clever, but lyrically and musically, and you know, the best song to me is Into the Unknown, and of course, Idina Menzel sings it, and of course, she belts it like she did Let It Go, but that's how she sings, but it was almost like they were trying to find another Let It Go, and that's... Songs like that are so rare that it's not.
I noticed they tried. Possible. They tried to make two songs like that.
Yeah, there was another one.
Well, that's the problem. There, none of the songs outside of Lost in the Woods are that memorable.
Right.
And I think what made Lost in the Woods memorable was. It was like it was almost like They Might Be Giants wrote a song for Jim Steinman.
Cool.
Because there's the lines like, I know you're my true north, but up is down and day is night, and you know, it there's a lot of play on words in it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm lost in the woods and you're my only landmark. You know, a lot of that. Jim Steinman-ish. Olaf has a song, but it's so throwaway. I don't even remember what the hell it's about.
Just saying, he's probably like, I'll come back. Well,
his songs in the first one were way better.
Yeah, and once again, it's a matter of trying to do a sequel and justify it for theatrical release, and I'm sure there was a little time frame. And trying to get it in because you don't want, you know, Frozen 2 in 15 years.
Well, I don't know what the hell Frozen 3 would be about. Of course, I didn't know what the hell Frozen 2 would be about.
Yeah.
Frozen 3, it's almost like... By the end of this movie, without giving anything away, it's... They show a map of the world a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like they're saying, yeah, we know where everything is. Which to me is weird because I would have thought... And I'm trying to remember because it has a lot to do with what actually happened to their parents.
Right.
Much later in the movie. And then I'm trying to remember what happened in the first to where who notified them that their parents were lost at sea.
Right.
If you're lost at sea, then how do you know whatever happened to them? But I digress.
reading too much into a kid's movie. But yes, I see your point, though. I agree with him.
Well, I think Disney has... They have really good ideas, but I don't think any of them necessarily necessitate a sequel.
No.
And I think that's a lot of what Pixar would run on up until Toy Story 2, and then Cars 2, and then Monsters University, yeah. Which was a prequel. I feel like Disney was just making this to make money.
Like this could have just gone to video.
Yeah.
This would have been a nice Christmas video, stick in your kid's stocking. And then you might not have been not as critical, but it might not have been, well, judgmental, critical. If you watch it watch it at home with the kids. You know, sit them down, keep them quiet for a couple of hours.
Well, there was, I think it was last summer. And I asked about the... I think maybe I asked two other people about this. Last summer, there was this big stink over how they were going to make Elsa gay. Do you remember that?
I do.
But we never got that in this movie. And I suspect that is Disney bowing to its true corporate masters in China.
Yeah.
Since China doesn't like LGBT characters in their movies.
No homo. No homo in a movie.
And don't like... They don't like certain ethnicities in their movies as well. And so I assume that it was probably an idea that was discussed at one point, and then Disney said, no. Our money's in China. You might be able to make a few more dollars here in America doing that, but all the money's being made in China right now.
Exactly.
So
the almighty dollar. Well, you pointed that out when in your review of Midway, how they kind of appease their Chinese bankers.
Well, I mean, the movie begins with one of the Chinese financiers being listed as the studio's producing it, and it's like, okay, whatever. I think it's something that's been happening for years. I think on a previous podcast we discussed how for the Black Panther movie, they basically removed all the black people from their Chinese posters.
Yes.
And basically put a mask over Black Panther and then...
So Martin Freeman movie. Martin Freeman
and yes. What's his face a lot bigger.
Yeah.
So I think it's been going on for years, but it's now just a part of the... It's part of mainstream knowledge now that China is not progressive at all in any way, shape, or form.
I wonder if there are any black, native black people in China.
I'm sure there is.
I've been born there, you know.
I'm sure it's like a tiny percentage, though. We're straying away from Frozen 2.
Yes, I'm sorry. That's an intriguing question, though.
I'll look that up.
Yes.
Because
according to Chris Rock, there were only two black people in Minnesota. And they were Prince and Kirby Puckett. And they're both dead, so there may not be any black people in Minnesota now.
Well, I'd hope there's some. They got to replenish it.
Yes. I have seen some at the Mall of America, so I know there are black people in Minnesota.
I've never been to that.
It's nice. I wouldn't want to, of course, I wouldn't go up in the top floor where that crazy guy threw that little boy off.
I don't know if there's anything else I want to add to Frozen 2 other than
entertaining. Don't go in expecting a lot and you'll be pleased. If you're looking for Frozen, you won't be.
Felt very long.
I think yeah.
It could have been a lot shorter to me, but I thought that about a few movies. And
we just need an Olaf movie.
Do you think they'll go the Illumination route and give Olaf a movie?
I would hope. I'd go see it.
I know they give him plenty of shorts.
Yeah.
I noticed a lot of people are divided over him. Some people love him and some people hate him.
Ooh. They think he's a lovable snowman.
Oh, because he's annoying, they say. I've seen a few posts on Facebook.
Wow. Haters.
There was someone I saw said that he's not as annoying as he was in the first one.
It's a positive. In his own movie, he'd be less annoying, possibly.
So what would you give Frozen 2?
You know, I gave it 4 because I wrote it right after I saw it. But now the more I think about it, I might do 3.5.
Yeah, I'd give it a 3.5. So 3.75 out of 5?
Yeah.
So 3.75 out of 5 to Frozen 2. And there was a movie that none of us saw but was reviewed on the Media Mike's website called Animal Among Us. The review by Becky Reiner. 2.5 out of 5. Trying to find something that summarizes it. Director John Woodruff is a lifelong genre fan. He's crafted his first feature film with bleeding monster Kid Hart on his sleeve. Which you're right, does sound very glowing.
I know, it sounds like, because I read the review, I was like, she must really like, 2.5 stars? But maybe it's a positive 2.5 stars.
Maybe it's one of those things that it's a bad movie, but you can tell a lot of effort went into it.
Yeah, you know. Looks like a lot of heart, but... I mean, not a lot of presentation.
And then, it's a... We didn't get to see... Did you see 21 Bridges?
No.
No.
Michael did.
Oh. What did he think?
I don't know. I didn't have his review when I...
Well, that should be up on Media Mike's website soon.
It'll be up very soon, as soon as I get it. And you may have said it.
And then they gave us like a last-minute screening of A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, but we weren't able to catch it.
Yeah, like less than a day's notice. I was like, yeah, thanks.
And it was basically the first screening of the day for it, wasn't it?
Yeah. So it's just like, thanks. Thanks for telling me.
But from everything I've read, it's a good movie.
Same here. I've heard really good things. It looks good. You can't go wrong with Tom Hanks.
And then supposedly The Irishman opens on, finally gets dropped on Netflix. A review of that is on the website as well.
Looking forward to it. I thought we'd get that because I got Dolomite. I got a screener of that in the mail the other day. Got some Netflix stuff, but Irishman wasn't in there, so.
Well.
3.5 hours. Maybe it'll be a, would it be a two DVD? Can they compress DVDs now?
I'm sure they can. I don't know.
To three plus hours?
You know, I'm sure they can, but I don't know. So, running down to movies this week, not much. Frozen 2, 3.75 out of 5. Also had Animal Among Us, 2.5 out of 5. And then we'll have 21 Bridges on the Media Mike's website, but no idea what Michael D. is going to give that. I heard mixed things. I heard good, bad, and it is what it is, which means it's probably an action movie that you'll love or hate. All right, since we only had one movie this week, we won't have a lot of trivia, at least in terms of a lot of deep dives. So there's something interesting I noticed, and it's three actors who have also played in only one other piece of Disney property who are in Frozen, the Frozen franchise, I should say. So I'll start it off with easiest to hardest. Josh Gad, who voices Olaf, is in what other Disney property? Josh Gad, what other Disney property is he in?
Oh, he was LeFou in the live-action Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
Gay LeFou. Guess the Chinese didn't have anything to do with that one.
I guess not. Well, it wasn't a big... It wasn't the main character being gay.
That's true.
Kristen Bell voices... why is her name not coming to mind? Even
Anna?
Yeah. What other Disney property is she in? This is also a very recent Disney property. I want to say this is 2015, 2016.
Animated or live action?
2016, yeah. Animated.
Ooh.
And this might actually have a sequel as well. I don't know. Let me see if they're working on it.
Frog Princess? Was that the name of the movie?
Well, they are working on a sequel for it.
Yeah.
You mean the movie that came out in like 2000-something?
Oh, was it that long ago?
Princess and the Frog?
Yeah.
I think that was the last hand-drawn movie they ever did.
Hmm.
That was 2009.
Oh, okay. I am unaware of this film, I'm sure.
You have seen it.
Oh, Disney? Animated? Yep.
I think we talked about it on the podcast.
Damn it. They make so many movies anymore.
Zootopia.
That was Disney?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then... Idina Menzel is in what other Disney property? It is live action, and I've never seen this.
Let's see. Was Rent Disney? No.
That's,
huh?
I hope not. This is a 2007 live action movie.
I watched Team America last night with the Lease, the Broadway show where they sing Everyone Has AIDS.
Some of your favorites are in this.
In this movie?
Amy Adams. Susan Sarandon.
Susan Sarandon.
James Marsden.
Oh, God. Is this...
Patrick Dempsey.
Charmed?
No.
Enchanted.
Yep.
Okay. And it was, one of those.
Yep.
Okay. Who was Idina Menzel?
It says she was Nancy Tremaine. Robert's fiance, and Robert was the attorney played by Patrick Dempsey. Didn't know Julie Andrews narrated this.
Yes. Well, but Julie Andrews.
I'm surprised she doesn't do. She isn't brought back for more Disney movies.
Well, she turned down a cameo in the last Mary Poppins because she didn't want to take any kind of.
Is that considered?
Take it away.
Is that considered a Disney sequel?
Yeah. Isn't she returning?
Or is it a reimagination?
No, I think it's a,
I never saw it.
A sequel. Me either.
I know it's on Netflix. I've just never watched it.
What? A couple weeks ago. But
let's see what Wikipedia calls it. Yeah, it's a sequel. Okay. Although it's when was the first Mary Poppins set? What year was that set in? Because this says this is set in 1935.
Ooh. So the bank kids are grown up. So probably turn of the century.
I thought that.
Turn of the 19th century.
Wow, 1910. Okay.
Okay.
I probably haven't seen Mary Poppins since I was a kid.
Good movie.
All right. Well, that's it for trivia this week. Moving on now to the movie question of the week. Going back into Frozen 2, this movie question of the week is, what is the best Disney sequel? Minus their bought property, Marvel, Star Wars, Pixar, all that.
Okay.
Best Disney sequel. And I think the kid in me would say The Return of Jafar.
Yeah.
The Aladdin sequel, where I don't even remember why, but Jafar returns. The kid in me would also probably say Rescuers Down Under, because I believe I saw that before the first Rescuers.
Are you including Pixar under the Disney umbrella?
No. Okay. Not bought property. I'm not including that.
I see.
So yeah, now it's a lot harder. Because if I was including all of that, I would probably say Toy Story 3, but I'm not, so.
I would say.
One of my friends would probably say Lion King 2, Simba's Pride.
I stayed away from all the straight to video stuff. Say Winnie the Pooh and a Blustery Day.
That's a movie?
Uh huh.
Really?
Uh huh.
When'd that come out?
60s.
How many movies has there been of Winnie the Pooh, at least animated?
Two or three. There's one that came out in 2000.
Piglet. Oh, I was going to say there was. Piglet. Well, there was also the Tigger movie.
And the Tigger movie.
Wow. What deep dive. Well, I went kind of the. Because to me, all the Disney. There's never been a great Disney sequel. They're all pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
In their own regard. And so then I thought, okay, well, there has to be something. And I thought, aha. The second Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Oh, good. Forgot about that.
Which I didn't write down the.
Black Pearl? No.
No, the Black Pearl's the first Pirates. One. It's like Dead Men's Chest or something. No, I put that down because I'm one of the few people who actually liked the second one.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the original. Because the original I enjoyed, but I thought it was way too long. It was like 2.5 hours or something ridiculous. And to me, the first one is get captured, dropped off on an island, repeat for 3-4 times throughout the movie. Whereas Dead Men's Chest actually felt like there was a story that it was like trying to progress. And I love the ending where basically this selfish character that we've come to know as Captain Jack Sparrow tries to do the noble thing, but still tries to weasel his way out, only for, I believe it's Keira Knightley's character to have trapped him on the ship to die at the hand of Davy Jones and the Kraken. To me, that's a way more iconic ending. And it's a lot shorter, if I remember correctly. So that's what I would go with.
That's a good choice also.
But I'm sure a lot of 90s kids have their own, because that's when they were making all the direct-to-video sequels.
Direct-to-video stuff. I don't think I've seen any of them. I didn't see, like, the different Aladdins or the Beauty and the Beast Christmas or any of that stuff.
They made a Beauty and the Beast Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
I know they made a Hunchback of Notre Dame 2, which I don't know what that could be about, other than the Catholic Church coming back and being assholes again. But, yeah, if there's a Disney sequel that you think is the best that we did not list, email us behindthemics@mediamics.com.
Tell your friends.
And now time for the part of the show where we talk about all the people who've passed away since we've last recorded, which, not to reveal how the sausage is made, but it's been about a week.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine there's too many.
Not too many, as opposed to last week's plethora of little bits. First is Guido Badano, age 92. He was the second officer on the SS Andrea Doria. Do you know what the Andrea Doria was?
That sounds familiar, but
it's
no.
It's the ship that... never gets mentioned because of the Titanic. In 1956, it collided with a ship called the Stockholm. And there were about 40, 45, 46 people killed.
Oh, that's it?
Yes, I know. Compared to the Titanic, it's nothing, but it was a big deal. Academy Award nominated actor Michael J. Pollard, age 80. Oscar nominated for Bonnie and Clyde. Also in episode of Star Trek, the original series... Tango and Cash, and Next of Kin. Very quirky young man. Always had that kind of weird, kind of a quirky face. Not unattractive, not very attractive. Michael J. Fox took that initial into honor Michael J. Pollard. Did you know that?
I did not.
And finally, cartoonist extraordinaire Gahan Wilson. Age 89, one of the main reasons I subscribed to National Lampoon in the 70s. He had a series called Nuts. Also did very, very macabre, macabre, how do you pronounce that? I feel
macabre.
Was it macabre?
I think so.
I feel like Bernadette Peters trying to pronounce Les Miserables. Very dark humor. One of my favorite cartoons of his was actually in Hustler magazine. It was the police and a woman standing around a naked man who had hung himself. And he had a very good-sized penis. And the cop says to the lady, "Well, you're right about one thing, Mrs. Johnson. Your husband certainly is hung." So, that's... It was funny in the 70s. It was funny when you're 12. No, it wasn't even Hustler 12. Funny when you're 17.
I did look up the Andrea Doria.
Yes.
A lot of people have died diving to it. Because the wreck site is nicknamed the Everest of wreck diving. Because of the number of deaths exploring it. And it looks like there's at least over a dozen.
Jeez.
Including the most recent one, 2017. A 46-year-old British man who was pulled from the water unconscious and couldn't be revived. As well as a 64-year-old man in 2015 who's presumed dead after diving on it.
Just never came back.
The earliest diver death was 1956.
Right after
tried
it went
to
down.
Photograph it after it went down. Yeah, that's... Give some time for the bodies to decay.
Yeah.
You don't want to come up on a corpse underwater.
Just popping up and saying hi.
It has to be eerie.
Oh.
Because I remember we talked to...
But knowing what? Your proclivity for exploring scary places that nobody has any business going into at night, if it was safe, would you do that? Would you go down to the Andrea Doria?
If it was
safe? I know you go down to the Titanic.
Oh, probably.
I know you hit a ride with James
I
Cameron.
I assume this isn't that far down in the ocean, then.
Not if people are able to dive on it, no.
But, you know, depending on the depth, you can still get a lot. You can still get, what is it?
Oh, the bends?
Yeah, the bends. Which I've heard is horrible. Decompression sickness.
Yes.
Where basically, I think it happens when you come up too fast.
Right. It's the same thing as the bends, yeah. You get air bubbles in the blood.
Yeah, 1956, huh? Anyway, is that it for all the dead
That's
people?
That's it.
Yeah, I didn't see anyone.
That's it, three.
I went online to see if anybody had passed away or if I had killed anybody, and I don't see anyone. And I haven't thought of anybody about who I'm going to try and kill this week. So, sorry about that.
As always, keep a thought out for Howie Mandel.
How old is he? Can't be that old. He's in his 50s probably, right?
No, he's got to be older than me.
Really? Oh. Let's look that up. So, what's going on the Media Mike's website this week?
What do we got? We got some upcoming reviews from stuff opening up over the Thanksgiving period. I will be listening to last week's podcast. I will be posting my review or interview with Will Muse this week. Michael D. will have 1917.
That's not out for a while, though, is it?
It screens this week, or maybe not. Well, maybe not.
I mean, I saw a movie that doesn't come out till Christmas Day. That's the other night. I don't even see it on a December release. I assume that's a January movie.
Oh, okay. Well, Michael D. will be seeing 1917.
Is he going?
We'll have his review of 21 Bridges. Jeremy will have Knives Out for the holiday.
And decent movie to see with the family.
Yeah. It looks good. It looks funny. It looks like it's like the old Neil Simon's, like Murder by Death, but taken more seriously.
There's a local film critic by the name of Alan Rapp who gave it a 5 out of 5.
Wow.
And if you ever read his stuff, he does not give out 5 out of 5s a lot.
Not since Shaun the Sheep, which I believe was his best film of the year, the one year it was out.
Was it?
Uh-huh. He loves Shaun the Sheep. He tried to nominate Shaun the Sheep for Best Actor in Shaun the Sheep.
Did he really?
Huh?
Yeah. More power to him, I guess.
There you go.
And Howie Mandel is 63.
Yep. You've lived a long, fruitful life, sir. Embrace your mortality.
All right. Well, that'll do it this week for Behind the Mics with Media Mics.
Well, I had a question just for you. Well, it's part of my my ripoff of American Top 40, which I listened to on the way in. Number 30 song this week in 1978 was How You Gonna See Me Now, one of a series of surprisingly ballads by Alice Cooper. But did you see Alice Cooper when he was here?
No.
That was JR then. I'll have to ask him. I'm just curious if he, you know, if he interrupts all the flash and the spangles and does, like, sits down on a stool and does ballads like Weird Al did.
Did you ever watch the Mike Myers documentary, Supermensch, about Alice Cooper's manager?
No.
You should watch it. It's really interesting. It's interesting to see how this guy basically made Alice Cooper into this big international rock star.
Vincent Fournier?
Oh, I don't remember his name.
It's Alice Cooper's name.
Oh.
And he was Keanu Reeves' babysitter when they both lived in Hawaii.
Really?
And did you see, you know, we were talking about, I think it was last week, that the deep fake thing with George Lucas, where he's just trashing the new Star Wars. It's like really funny. In the end, he goes, "Hey, let me save your money." At the end, Star Wars dies, but it's just. But a friend of mine at work showed me one with Keanu Reeves interrupting a robbery at a convenience store, and it's just the technology is just amazing, because if you didn't, I mean, obviously you figure out it's not him as it progresses, but the technology today, these actors are just going to just say, yeah, just go ahead and use my face. And
yeah, you'll probably see that in the next decade or so.
Yeah, but I was just amazed. It's like technology, you can just do, you know, put that on your phone. You can just, I could download Roy Scheider and just go into find a really tall, thin guy and just have Roy Scheider go into a restaurant and shoot the place up or something. But it was just really entertaining, and on a technological level, it was just amazing that they have this. I remember watching Rising Sun, it had to be 1995, with Sean Connery and Wesley Snipes, and the biggest video trick there was that they were able to move one's head to the other guy's body, you know, just to show what you could do with video editing. And now to be able to portend that that is the actual person you think you're watching is just amazing. You should watch that. Yeah, I don't know what the title is, but you type in Keanu Reeves convenience store robbery and you should be fine.
Well, there's been a lot of deep fakes lately. A lot of them just for fun. The reason they're, you know, the technology on it moves so fast is because the generation who's making it and doesn't necessarily have any concept of privacy or any of that, but that's the previous generation's fault, and that's the previous generation's fault, and so on and so forth. Because the people who are making these grew up in a world where they went to school and there was metal detectors, they were patted down. They went to airports where they did full body scans. Right. And that's the generation before its fault for freaking out over minuscule things and, you know, enforcing all this, you know, security measures. So we're basically slowly raising another generation to accept the fact that there is no such thing as privacy. And
well said.
That's why the deepfake things are coming out. So if you say kids these days, you only have yourself to blame sometimes. And hey, that'll do it for this week. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Behind the Mics, The Media Mics. Don't forget to subscribe to us on whatever podcast listening application that you may be using. And shoot us an email, behindthemics@mediamics.com. Where you can also answer the movie question of the week, which is the best Disney sequel minus their bought properties. Like Star Wars, Marvel, yada, yada, yada.
XR.
Don't forget to give us a lovely review on iTunes. You can find me at Jeremy Loaf on Twitter. You can find Mike at The First Movie Mike on Twitter. And until next time, let go of the past.